Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Welcome into the WEEI Producers Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Shime and Lanny with you on this beautiful Saturday rainy-ass morning. It's not great, but quick right off the bat, Billy.
Yeah,
want to wish our producer, Joe Braverman, a happy belated birthday. I haven't seen him since his birthday earlier this week, so happy birthday to you, Joe.
Congratulations. Thank you, fellas.
Joe, how old?
27.
Wow.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, nothing says happy birthday like a 24-3 loss on Thursday Night Football.
And I want you to know, Joe, you're in the twilight years of your 20s. And once you hit 30, no other age matters. It's just true.
Oh, yeah, it was literally just another day.
You know what it was? Like, for me, it was like 25 because it was like, all right, 18, I can gamble and buy tobacco. 21, I can go out, buy booze.
25, I can rent a
25,
car.
25, I can rent a car. And then after that, it's just, all right, it's just another year.
Yeah, it's just moving on along.
Good for you, Joe. I thought you were younger.
Oh, geez, thanks.
I'll take it. Well, no, because Shime said it. I go, what is he, 23, 24? Good for you. Hold on to that baby face. I'm in the same boat. Losing it up top, but I got the baby face still.
Hey, you know what? You'd rather have a baby face than whatever the other thing is, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can always wear a hat.
Yeah. Especially if you're someone that's as you age, too, you're just going to always stay younger.
Yeah, I couldn't grow a beard to save my life. Could not. It grows in patches. It comes in different colors. It's like, no, I'm an adult. I can't grow facial hair very well.
I've had the same goatee for like 12 years.
Like once you got it, you didn't get rid of it. Right. That's kind of where I am with my hair. Like I can see it and feel that it's thinning in the back. And I know that at some point I'm going to have to go with like the short wiffle look.
Yeah.
Like I'll never go straight on like bicking it.
I'm going to have to go bald.
Are you gonna though?
Oh, yeah. I got the horseshoe already going.
Yeah. But
it's
still
brutal.
Is it gone completely on the top?
Yeah. It's just like barely peeking out. Like it's like Costanza level.
I feel like I'm in the same boat where once I go low with it and see how short it actually is, then I'm gonna be like, all right, then I'm gonna have to go with like a one or like even like a double zero.
Gone with the half.
Yep.
That's how low I've gone so far. And like it looks good at that length. Like I'm fine with it. But as soon as it starts growing, I'm like,
you gotta stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Yep. I got you.
That's why I may just end up having to full shave it and go full on bald.
I get worried about like back of my head, like how I like shaving the back of it, but they have enough tools now and everything.
Yeah, have you ever been told you have a nice shaped head? Like, people have told me that now, though. Like when I have talked about this, and I'm like, I think I might go bald. They're like, oh, you'd probably look good bald. Your head's shaped
nice.
Yeah,
no, that's a good thing, too. It's like, it's not like you like the pack of hot dogs in the back.
Nope.
And it's not like you're like the racing stripes in the back. You got a good shape head, take advantage of it.
I don't have like the Megamind head.
It's well balanced.
Yeah, exactly.
It's well balanced. Right. And the thing is, too, what's good for you is like you've knocked off the LBs and it hasn't made your head look huge.
No.
You know what I mean? Because some people, you've seen it, like some people
turn into a bobblehead.
Yeah, some people lose weight and their noggin looks friggin' huge.
Like they're wearing a football helmet, like the Guardian helmet.
Yeah, so you know what? I agree with whoever that was. You do have a well-shaped head.
Oh,
that's what I'm afraid of. Like once I shave it really short and I see it, I'm like, yikes. But for the most part, I got a hat on anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Off to a rousing start here on the Producer Show this morning, but as Joe Braverman mentioned, it's probably better than talking about a 24-3 loss for your New England Patriots this week, huh, Billy?
Oh, yeah, no, Thursday night was not a good time at all. It was... Offense was bad. Defense was bad. It was a tough watch.
Did you ever for a moment think, man, I just want to check out and go to bed? Like,
wish
this wasn't a Patriots game so you didn't have to watch it?
Yep. So it was halftime. I'm like, all right, because it was still 14-3, I believe, at half. So I'm like, this is the Jets
missed the field goal. You're like, oh, maybe the Pats get some momentum.
I'll come back at the half. And then the third quarter happened, and then we got to the fourth quarter, and then I got to the point where I was like, maybe I'll recline because that's my kryptonite. So like if I'm sitting on the couch just sitting, I can watch and be up. No problem. Soon as my legs go up,
toast.
Out like a light. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put my legs up. I'm going to close my eyes, but I'm going to keep listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Keep it in the back.
So I was one of the guys who woke up the next day and I went, I miss May. I was like, May went to the game. I'm like, all right. So then he woke up in the morning and then I had to go back and watch
the replay.
Yeah, I had to go back on the DVR and see what I missed. But it got me through the half. And then once the third quarter ended, I started to fade a little bit.
Yeah, I was so out at like halftime. I was just like, man, I just want to go to bed. I didn't. I stayed up. I watched the whole thing. I got really, really excited when Drake May came in. And then I proceeded to get less and less excited he was driving down the field because I'm like, oh, there's zero juice to this.
Oh,
like,
there's still
nobody
this offensive
wants
line.
To be. Nobody wants. Like, I don't want to watch this. They don't want to be playing in
this
game anymore.
Right. That's the worst thing too. Is like when you're sitting there enjoying, you're like, wow, these guys are checked out.
Yeah.
These guys are more checked out than I am, and I'm just watching.
And so I'm like, what can I really take away from this debut? Like, Okay, he got hit twice. He looked better after he got, like, spun around, speared. Like, yeah. It literally looked like he was doing a move in a wrestling ring.
Right.
Like, being the idiot guy spinning around and getting absolutely torched by Randy Orton or something. And I was very... But then from there, like, he looked comfortable. He made a couple good throws. Like, that throw to Pop Douglas over the middle was really nice, which is good. So it was nice to see Drake May.
Yep.
But after hearing Gerard Mayo yesterday... And I listened to a lot of Jones and Keith break this down yesterday as it happened.
Yep.
Ah, man. I do not feel like we're going to get Drake May this week, even though we should.
He was very, I thought it was extremely quick to say that, considering you have basically a week and a half off,
And the night of the game, right? Right after the game, in the post-game press conference, he goes, he was asked, are you going to consider a quarterback change? He's like, you know, we want everybody to compete at every position. We're going to take a look at what we have at practice and figure it out.
Yep.
Where then 12 hours later, he's like, yeah, Jacoby's our quarterback.
Brissett's the guy, yeah.
Until I say he's not. I'm like, what? Hold on, timeout. Why?
Yeah.
Why has he earned this kind of respect?
I wonder if it's just as simple as just, you know, he's not doing much, but he's protecting the ball.
But is he
like? Is it as simple as that? Like,
so people keep saying that.
Yep.
And isn't taking these long sacks the same thing as just turning the ball over?
Yeah. It's not good. It isn't. Yeah. It isn't a good thing. But I guess the sacks aren't nearly as bad as him throwing picks.
We talk about every single week. You know, you're competing for a job, so we'll get together as a coaching staff and see where it goes.
So, and like, that's the thing
that
about.
That was right after the game?
That was right after the game.
And
correct.
Then less than 12 hours later.
Less than 12 hours later, he's like, yeah, you know, Jacoby's our quarterback. And so it stinks. It frustrates me, though, because, like, people criticize Josh Allen a lot of the time for the amount of interceptions he throws. But when you look at them, a lot of them are shots he takes down the field. That's basically like a punt on third down.
Right.
And, like, he's just trying to make something happen. It doesn't work. It gets picked. Oh, well, they still only have the ball at their own 20. No harm, no foul. You were going to punt anyways. Jacoby doesn't do that. Instead, it's first down, take a sack. Run the ball for a yard, third down, take a sack, punt the ball. And, like, you're in the same position.
Mm.
And so, really, which one would you rather? I'd kind of rather have the Josh Allen one because at least there's a chance
He's slinging
something
it.
Good happens.
He's slinging it. He's showing he's got an arm.
Yeah.
Not these short little passes. No, I understand that because he had a few passes the other day that he threw. The one that was called for a PI, that was a nice little toss down the field.
Yep, to Hooper.
Hooper.
He also had a great rhythm throw to Hunter Henry over the middle of the field. It was three-step drop, Hunter Henry turns in the center of the field, and he ripped it. Like, that was the hardest I've seen Jacoby Brissett, like, lean into
zip
a throw.
He zipped
it in there, and it was a first down. I'm like, okay, that's what we're looking to see. Mm. And we just... It felt like they were just focused on feeding Pop Douglas instead of actually winning this game.
Because he voiced. I wonder if that's because of what it was. You know
what I mean?
Squeaky
wheel gets the grease.
Right, that's the thing. And we never saw that before.
No.
Again,
never.
Once the play, I don't
think. It's called overcompensation.
Yeah, you would have been benched instead.
Right. Exactly. You would have been out there for one play and then sat the rest of the game if you mouthed off like that. And I say mouthed off. Mouth off sounds a little more dramatic than what it actually was.
You would have
said
something.
He didn't pull a Jude on. How about that?
There you go. He vocalized. True. He vocalized what he was feeling as a, you know. But, and he's been lucky with, like, Hunter Henry has been his safety net all season.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Hunter Henry has been, like, the one bright spot on this team.
Yeah.
Ramondre has been good, but again, as you just mentioned, he's fumbled in three straight games
now. Right, this is the first time he actually lost it.
Yeah, which is not great. Antonio Gibson's actually looked pretty good in the limited time you've seen him, which has kind of been nice, but... Outside of that, the offense has struggled, to say the least.
Absolutely. And the thing is, too, is you see a game plan, you think, all right, he's throwing to the tight ends just to kind of create room for the receivers.
Yeah.
But that isn't happening.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's the only place he can go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Well,
like,
is it the only place he can go or the only place
to.
He will go?
Yeah.
Because like, when you watch the tape, there's receivers open, but he never looks at them. He never even sees them. And so I'm curious if it's by design from the offensive coordinator or it's just Jacoby's limited abilities.
Jacoby is our quarterback until I say he's not the quarterback.
It's bold.
I hate that statement.
Until I say he's not the quarterback when everything else is like, we're going to discuss this and we're going to do this until I tell
and,
you.
It bugs me too because in this moment, and just because we had Belichick for like 25 years, you're able to reflect. Like in this moment, Belichick would have said like, Yeah, we'll figure everything out once everybody shows up for practice.
Right.
Because, like, guys have a couple days off. You don't have to say Jacoby's our quarterback until I say he isn't. You could just say what you said Thursday night and be like, yeah, you know, we're going to evaluate things once everybody comes back after a couple days off, comes back to practice, and we'll figure things out. That's all you have to do.
I'd be curious how it works in the locker room. Again, I'm not in there. I have no idea what the hell these guys talk about after games, before games, stuff like that. There had to have been something that Mayo heard from Brissett where he goes, this is still my guy.
Yeah, but like you look at the players. Do you really believe that they think they can win with Jacoby Brissett?
No.
Right?
No, I don't think they do.
Like, especially the offensive guys.
Right.
Like, the defensive guys are like, yeah, we're going to go kick ass. Yeah, like, who cares what the offense
whoever's
does?
The quarterback.
Just don't turn the football over. We'll be fine.
Exactly.
But I bet those guys, like Hunter Henry, probably does not feel like they can win football games with Jacoby Brissett, even though he's the only one really benefiting from this offense.
Right, he's been the most involved.
He is probably like, man, I'm getting the ball a lot, which is good, but man, we are not going to win football games like this.
Well, when did those whispers start becoming louder and louder? Like, is the Niners game pretty much the last chance for Jacoby?
I thought Thursday night was. Like, Thursday was
If you made the decision the next day to say, okay, we're going to go with May going forward, would have been totally understandable.
And it's like one thing, right? You look back at the Seahawks game. You lose in overtime. Mm. Like, you were in that game the whole way through. You had opportunities to win, and it just kind of fell away.
Technically, this is the first, like, absolutely horrible showing they've shown.
Exactly. So, after week two, you're like, okay, like, was Jacoby Brissett good? No. But did he hurt them? No, not at all. He actually was fine. Like, he was serviceable. And so if you had gotten serviceable on Thursday night and you lose 24-15, it's like, oh, okay, like, that happens.
Even
like,
10, even 24-10.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been so bad.
Get in the end zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, 24-10, 24-13, whatever. That's, like, okay, that happens. Like, it's, you can't ask for perfection all the time. Aaron Rodgers was awesome in that game.
Oh my God.
Your defense was a little lackluster. Like, okay, we can't expect the world from Jacoby Brissett. But instead, the offense was anemic. He could complete passes to no one but Pop Douglas, apparently. He can't throw the longest pass play we've had all year is 15 yards. Mm. And, like, we're trying to target Tyquan Thornton down the field. Luckily, we got a PI on one of them, but okay, cool.
Right.
So it's just, I don't see any upside from Jacoby Brissett, because if you're also, like, the whole reason he's there is to not turn the football over and keep you in games.
Yep.
Well, if he's not keeping you in games, then what is he doing?
Right. It's just protecting the ball, and that's not enough for you to keep the job.
No, you can do what Brian Callahan said of Will Levis, and it's like, I can just punt on first down every time and we win the football game.
Right, right. And the thing is, too, is like, look, offense was bad, defense was bad, and you ran into literally vintage Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
it was just a terrible combination of things. Like I said, your offense wasn't doing anything, your defense wasn't helping the situation, and Aaron Rodgers looked 10 years younger.
Yeah, he was spectacular.
Good for him.
In a word.
Good for him to come back from that and look again.
And the first 2 weeks were rough for him.
Yeah, and again, it's the Patriots, so you can't really, I don't know how much they'll put into it, because they're a tough team. They're not, like, you know, tough to watch team. They're not very good. But those are the games where you have to step up like that.
And that throw at the goal line to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
On the move, like falling to his right, just on a freaking rope.
Because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure which one it was, but we talked about Aaron Rodgers in the sense that, like, all right, maybe his mobility is not what it used to be because of the Achilles injury, so now he's just going to have to focus on his arm and slinging it.
Yeah.
Thursday, his legs were working, his arms were working.
Everything was in line for him.
Yeah.
Like, so when I take the field, I expect greatness.
Yeah, I mean, that was greatness. Like, that was, and maybe in part, like, I think a little bit is, okay, Aaron Rodgers looked entirely healthy, and then also, like, I think the Patriots secondary is a little overrated.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was a little bit of a combination of both. Christian Gonzalez is great, but everybody else in that secondary is a little bit overrated. And so I think you kind of saw that on Thursday.
100%.
Night.
Totally agree with that one.
617-779-7937. What did you make of the Patriots' loss to the Jets on Thursday night? Do they even have a chance as they head to San Francisco a week from Sunday? We'll take it all here, 37937, if you want to text in as well. It is Shime and Lanny with you here on the Producer Show, but right now, Joe Braverman is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, Here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, it felt like no one wanted it last night, but the Red Sox wanted it less as they fell to the Twins 4-2, your final score in 12 innings. Rookie Richard Fitz once again went 5 shutout innings, but Minnesota finally broke the 1-1 tie in the 12th with 3 runs off of Cooper Criswell. The Sox offense tied a franchise record with 20 strikeouts as a team, and they were 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position. They now sit 5 games back in the wildcard standings with 8 games left in the regular season. After the game, Alex Cora told the media that Rafael Devers will get an MRI today on his shoulder and will most likely be shut down for the remainder of the season. Game 2 of this 3-game set will continue this afternoon. You can hear the Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming with the call from Fenway at 4:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite Pablo Lopez for the Twins. John Lyons will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Some injury news going on around the NFL. Niners tight end George Kittle is likely to miss tomorrow's matchup with the Rams with a hamstring issue. Niners defensive players Nick Bosa and Charvarius Ward both questionable for San Fran. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur said quarterback Jordan Love is likely a game-time decision with an MCL sprain. And Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert is questionable with a high ankle sprain. Staying in football, Boston College plays their traditional red bandana game tonight against Michigan State. Kickoff set for 8 o'clock. You can listen to that game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM or on the free Odyssey app with coverage starting at 7:30. And the Revolution hit the road to face Charlotte FC this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
When Gerard was in here, he said that there were some plays that maybe were called runs or passes in the huddle that you guys had to check in and out of at the line of scrimmage. How often would you say that happened?
A mixture. I mean, like I said, it really didn't come down to the plays. It was just like they just beat our ass, to be honest with you.
He's not wrong. If I'm being honest, they really did kind of clap that ass.
Yeah. There's no denying it. You can't. There's no excuses you can make. You were manhandled.
No, this is the WEEI producer show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Scheim and Lanny.
The karaoke beat it version.
Yeah, it's like the instrumental yeah. version. Yeah, yeah. It's just like kind of looped.
Awesome song.
A great song. What was I saying? Oh yeah, rainy Saturday morning. No, no, no. You're good. You're good. You're allowed to do
that. It's feeling fall. It feels very fall today.
Oh, it's super fall today. Like it's rainy. It's kind of cool. There's football all over the place. BC plays tonight at 8 against Michigan State. Big game for them. We got a full slate of football tomorrow that doesn't involve the Patriots, which means red zone all day long, which I kind of love.
Do you?
Are you a big red zone guy?
I'm not.
Really?
I'm not. Like, I'll go to it, but I can't I can't stay to it. Like, I'm too much. It's I'm a scatterbrain, and that's made for scatterbrains, but it's too much. It's too much for me.
Like, when the Patriots
red zone's a good background.
I can dig that. Like, I'll have to watch. Like, I always loved 1 o'clock CBS games when the Patriots were at 4 because it was always like an AFC East game.
Yeah.
I used to love those. So I don't know what the game
Bills and Jets.
Loved it. Absolutely. Love it. I still do. So I will watch. I'll watch one of the games and then commercials. I'll flip to red zone and then go back. It jumps around too much for me.
Yeah,
I'm lock in on one.
I'm a psycho, and so I have.
You are a gambler. You play fantasy. It's
I do all these things.
Right.
I have normally on a Sunday. I'll have the Patriots on the main screen. I will have red zone up on my iPad.
Yep.
And then I'll also be progressively checking in on other games and other things on my phone. Whether it's like ESPN stats to check my prop lines or the betting apps to check how things are going.
Your poor girlfriend's wondering why her phone's moving so slow.
Yeah. I'm like, I am just sucking up all the internet.
I got every app open on every device I have right now.
Mm-hmm. And like those days I decided to go watch football in the office. Like it's like I got my dual monitor
office.
Computer. Yeah, we have an office.
Rag.
It's really kind of just the spare bedroom.
It's the extra room.
Yeah. And so, but my PC setup, I have 2 monitors plus the iPad plus my phone.
Nice.
Like I.
Oh, you're a gamer anyway, so you probably have nice size monitors and good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like
nice, like 144 hertz monitors.
Beautiful.
Like we're cooking. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It's just like I love to just be like fully
surrounded
stimulated
by football.
Yeah, I need it. It just it makes me feel at home.
Yeah.
Like, I feel at peace.
Yeah. It's like you're one of the guys in the trucks for a TV broadcast. You're one of those guys. If you could have like the big board and like volume on this one, visual on
I
this
I want to see
like,
every single camera
right, you don't
in front
miss
of
a thing.
Me.
That's awesome.
Yep. I'm like, go to camera 3 right now.
Yeah.
I'm just
there's about like 7 or 8 cameras per game, and there's 16 games in a week.
Well, so that's why
you won every single one.
I got a quad box on four TVs.
This is not a plug. I got to give YouTube TV a ton of credit.
Yep.
Because, like, especially this was huge during the NCAA tournament this year.
Oh, yeah.
They have the multi-view.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can have four games up on my TV at once, plus have something on, like, my iPad and phone. It's the greatest thing on the planet for someone like me who just needs to be overstimulated and can't, like, just focus in on one game because I'll just get bored. Like, as much as I love just sitting there and watching a game, like, I want to be on my phone or something. Mm-hmm. I need the stimulation across the board. So, and now they have it for football. So I can have, like, two games on the TV, Red Zone on the iPad, and something going on my phone, and I'm just like in it.
I'm literally every angle covered.
Oh, God.
Like, you can't slip anything by you.
I am watching the All 22 while I'm watching the live stream feed. Like, it's just, I need an Amazon Prime version of, like, all these where I'm like, ooh, red circle on that guy. He might blitz here.
Yeah, right?
Like, really get ready. 617-779-7937. Darren is in Belmont, wants to talk to Pats. What's up, Darren?
First question, are you married?
Me? I have a girlfriend. We have a house together.
All that football you watch, she still stays by your side?
Yeah, it's just one day a week, and it's 17 weeks out of the year, or 18 weeks out of the year, and that's it.
And then 5 days, 6 days, 7 days of work talking about it.
Yeah, but she doesn't have to deal with that part, because I leave the house to go to work,
so
she doesn't have to deal with me when I actually talk about it.
I've been married 36 years, and if I have watched one game, I get yelled at. So God bless you.
Thank
See, the thing
you.
Is, too, is my girlfriend thing is, like, I don't need her to be a fan. You know what I mean? Like, some guy's like, oh, man, you need to watch this. And I don't try to teach her. It's perfect because all she does is just tolerates that I do it.
Yeah, my girlfriend hates football. It doesn't hate football, but, like, doesn't care for it.
Yeah, right.
So she just reads. She just likes be in the room, and she'll just read and just hang out.
Around on her iPad and this, that, and the other
God
thing.
God bless. So my whole thing about the Patriots is that, you know, I don't blame the players. They're not great. The coaching staff maybe could be better. I blame it all on Wolf. Wolf had all off season to put a roster together, especially if you win in the trenches, you have no offensive linemen. And I don't understand what he was looking at. I don't understand what he was doing. And the blame should go on this guy. They made him head of player personnel, and he has totally failed in his first year. I know he has – this is the beginning, and we'll – the Belichick rollover, but I'm still not to get a left tackle, not to know your offensive line is settled. It's, to me, it's inexcusable.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate the call. I agree with him. I think he's absolutely right. Like, Elliot Wolf should be number one on the list of people that deserve blame for what's going on.
Yep, I agree with that too, Darren. And the thing is, you knew you were taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
So right there, then all your focus needs to be on protecting said quarterback.
Yeah, and, like, if you were going to sign guys like K.J. Osborne, you didn't technically need to draft Jalen Polk in the second round.
No.
You could have drafted a tackle like Kingsley Suamataya or Patrick Paul or one of those guys that was hanging around in the second or third round who might have been better suited to, I don't know, play left tackle than Caden Wallace, a guy who played right tackle in the Big Ten for years because Olufoshana was playing left and is now just randomly starting at left tackle in the NFL.
And the thing is, too, Wiz Mayo said it, you know, I don't know if it was you guys, the burning some cash.
Yes.
Right, so you use the burn difference of some cash line. I don't think Kraft has ever said we're not spending.
No, and I mean, the reports about the money they were willing to give Ayuk indicates that he is willing to spend.
Exactly.
Which means it's all Elliot Wolf.
Exactly.
So it's just, it's infuriating.
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
Yeah, it's just infuriating that he knew I was going to take a quarterback at three but didn't prepare for it.
Right.
And
if you're going to go another position, then I could see, like, okay, like, if, you know.
Like, if they took Marvin Harrison Jr.
Exactly. That's who I wanted, just because he was the flashy wide receiver. And I haven't been excited about a Patriots receiver since Randy Moss, and we got him from a trade. You know what I mean? So here was like, oh, wow, we can get somebody who could be with this team for 10 years and be productive. But then it's like, okay, yeah, we need a quarterback. And then as soon as they knew that, and even Mayo said it. Mayo goes, oh, we're going to draft our biggest need. And at the time, their biggest need, and still is, was the quarterback.
And it's
at that
crazy.
Point, Wolf's focus needs to go right to the offensive line. As soon as you realize, it was like, okay, we're not getting Williams. We're not getting who went to the command is?
Daniels.
Sorry. So we know we're getting May. And then your focus should have been completely on ways of protecting that guy.
100%. I couldn't
agree
more.
Part of it was like, you know, Hunter Henry, that guy helps. He blocks. He was the best tight end available.
Sure.
Good move.
Bring in Austin Hooper, another decent tight end.
Owenu, was that the other the lineman they signed?
So
you signed the top guys at their positions.
Theoretically.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of
Well, then you just kind of put the rest of the offensive line together with duct tape and paperclips.
Right.
Like, you bring in Chucks Okorafor, who got cut by the Steelers, and, oh, yeah, now he doesn't want to play football. And then, like, you knew Cole Strange wasn't going to be out there, and that's probably better anyways because he stinks. And then, so now your left tackle plan is Vedarian Lowe. And you have City So, which I kind of liked City So heading into the year, but now he's hurt.
And now we get him on the field.
You had no backup plan, and it's just like, whoa, what are we doing? Like, we're starting Michael Jordan at guard. Like, it's like, what are we doing?
I wish it was actually Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he might be better.
The actual Michael Jordan might be better than Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's and the thing is, too, you went into the season, your expectations weren't that high. You had a rough couple seasons, new coaches, new quarterback. So it wasn't like you went into the season like, well, we're going to be a 12-win team. You knew things weren't going to be well. So this is how you build up to get back to being the teams you were. Not going to be like 100%. A dynasty. But this is what you're supposed to do, Wolf. You're supposed to help build the team up, knowing that this year wasn't going to be a great year. But it's what we always talk about. At least we're seeing something develop. And there's nothing on that offensive line that is making me look to the future that it's going to be a good one.
And it also makes me feel so much better about the fact that you didn't draft Marvin Harrison Jr., because if you did, Jacoby Brissett wouldn't throw him the football.
Would he get the ball anyway?
Yeah, he wouldn't even get the ball. So, like, it would have been useless.
Absolutely
it would have been
useless.
An absolute waste of a pick.
Right.
And you wouldn't have seen him go off for 130 yards in the first quarter with Kyler Murray, like, which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't agree more. They should have had a bigger focus on offensive line in the offseason, whether it was through the draft or through free agency or a combination of the two, which is probably how you should do it. They should have had a stronger desire to add there, and they didn't. And that is the massive failure of the year. I totally agree. I also think, though, I think at times we have overrated how bad this line is, like overblown how bad this line is. Like Thursday night, the line wasn't great.
No.
But Jacoby Brissett was also the reason why he was facing so much pressure.
Mm-hmm.
The very first drive of the game, and I freaked out. My girlfriend, who was just sitting there, not actually watching football, had to listen to me explain why I was so mad for 5 minutes during the commercial break. And it's during the very first drive. Jacoby Brissett lines up in the shotgun on third down. He has five down linemen. Hunter Henry split just slightly in the slot to the left off the line of scrimmage, or like off the offensive line. You look at the Jets defensive players. There were four of them over the right guard and right tackle. Four players. You could see them. If you couldn't see them, they were showing up as red circles on the Amazon Prime thing. They were indicating to you, these guys might blitz on this play. From the quarterback's perspective, you can see all four of them. You know somebody's coming from
that side.
And what did he not do? He didn't set a protection. He didn't check out of the play. He didn't set. He did not identify his hot read. He did nothing.
Nope.
And he looked at it. Same hard count he had all game, which, by the way, the Jets knew. You didn't change anything there. That was pretty simple. As soon as you snap the ball, all four of those guys on the right side of the line of scrimmage were coming at you.
Right there.
In the kitchen. Two of them were in your grill in 2 seconds. And you could have at least slowed it down by, like, motioning Hunter Henry, by checking out of the play, by doing something. And he didn't.
Nope.
He didn't. He refused to do it. And so you know what the Jets did? They blitzed him on 50% of his dropbacks in the first half.
And you heard Herb Street saying after over and over that the Jets are not a blitz-heavy team.
Robert Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich, on average, blitz no more. Their normal, like the high end of their blitzing in a game is about 25%. In total, in the first half, they blitzed 50%. Once the game was in the bag, they dialed it back a little bit. But overall for the game, they blitzed over 33% of the time because they knew Jacoby Brissett could not handle it. He couldn't deal with it.
On top of a bad line.
Yeah, on top of it being a bad offensive line.
Good way to put it is the offensive line was the worst, but Jacoby Brissett did not do himself any favors.
Well, I wouldn't even say that they were the worst. Like, I think he was the worst. That's kind of where I'm coming from, which is why I'm so adamant that they start Drake May against the 49ers. It's like, you have the mini bye week. It's plenty of time to get the kid ready. Throw him in there.
So do you think it's a quarterback thing, or do you think it's more about the lack of adjustments and sticking too firmly to what the plan was?
So I know Rich Keefe on your show likes this as well. I'm a big blame pie guy.
Yep.
Love a good blame pie. I love a lot of pie. So for me, the blame pie would be about...
What part of the Waken 180 diet?
Yeah, you know, pie not on a Awaken 180 diet, so I actually haven't had pie since last Thanksgiving.
I'm a blame pie a la mode guy.
Yeah, oh, God.
Nice scoop of ice cream while I sit on my couch and blame professional athletes and what they do.
We'll talk about this in a moment. Okay. I love pie. God. So
that's a good clean drop if you get that
one. So blame pie here. I would go like 40% Alex Van Pelt, 40% Jacoby Brissett, 20% offensive line. That's kind of where my blame is.
None of it went to Mayo.
For the offense? No.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he has a hand in it at all. Like, I think he is very hands-off when it comes to actually both the offense and the defense. I think he is very involved in the game planning leading up to the defense. Yep. But when it comes to the actual play calling, it feels like, and this is just kind of my perspective, is that he is relatively hands-off during the game, and DeMarcus Covington is dealing with the actual play calling and momentum.
So I understand giving your coordinators that kind of power.
Leeway,
trusting your coordinators to do it. But the head coach at some point has to say, hey, maybe you should take a look at this. You know, and that's why I feel he deserves some of the pie in the situation. Because even though he's very trustworthy in his coordinators, as the head coach, you have to say, look, this didn't work. This didn't work. What can you do to fix it type thing?
Okay, so let's adjust the pie.
Okay.
40 Van Pelt.
Yep.
30 Brissett.
Okay.
20 offensive line, 10 Mayo.
I can accept that pie.
Okay, cool.
That pie I will accept.
All right, good. Put a little whipped cream on
it.
Warm it up.
Give me a scoop of vanilla on it.
Sitting on the windowsill, really cooling off. Right, that's right.
And then the smell lines will go up my nose, and my tippy toes will drag me to old school cartoon over the
fence.
Put it on the windowsill old fashioned. I'm in the yard, and the smell comes through and up my nostrils, and I float over.
So 603 text, dude, you're 100% wrong. Jacoby's not the reason he's getting sacked as much. Teams are looking at this offensive line and loading the box. So that's fine. But, like, what happens? So if Aaron Rodgers plays behind a bad offensive line and you load the box on him, what does he do?
Adjusts,
and the ball's out. The ball's out of his hands in, like, less than 2 seconds. His offensive line's pretty good, and the ball was still out of his hands in, like, 2 seconds last night or Thursday night. You look at, and there's two guys in particular that I love using this for. You look at Joe Burrow. He's the one in particular for me. 2021 was the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Rams, I think. Is it 2020 or 2021? Either way. 21. So he went to the Super Bowl. He was the first quarterback to have been sacked like 40 or 45 times in a season and make it to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And so his offensive line was horrendous. But Joe Burrow was so good at just getting the freaking ball out. Getting the ball out, getting it in the hands of Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, whoever his tight end was at the time, whether it was Tyler Eifert or whatever. The key is just adjust. Set the protections properly. Find your hot guys. Get the ball out right away. Yep. Like, that's how you beat it. Or you run draw. You run well out of the shotgun. Run well in general against the blitz, and you're fine. Because this team can run the football.
They have him, right?
Yeah. So, like, there's ways to beat a blitz. But the quarterback isn't helping you do that in any capacity.
No. Like we talked about, he saw four guys setting up ready to charge at him and did nothing about it.
Like, so everyone on the planet knew they were coming.
Right, that has to fall on Brissett.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Because I'm sure the offensive line's balking about it because they can see it happening. And then, they're not the one that changed the play call.
And after 15 seconds on the play clock, like, Alex Van Pelt's not in his ear anymore. So this is not like Sean McVay with Jared Goff. Like, hey, they're going to be bringing a blitz off the right, set the protection, and let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like that. Like, it's like, all right, Jacoby, clock's winding down here. You're kind of on your own. Set the protection or figure it out. Like, and he doesn't. And he's just not doing it. And so for me, that's why he deserves so much blame. And, like, look, I'm not saying Drake May will come in here and make the protections perfect, but I think he'll get the ball out. I think he'll know, like, okay, I see four guys over here on the right side of the line of scrimmage. I'm just going to, like, rip it to Hunter Henry and hope he catches it, like, 3 yards after the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Like, he's going to beat the linebacker off the line of scrimmage, and I'm going to put a bullet in his chest, and hopefully he catches it.
Right. So do you think, and this is kind of, you know, going a little ahead here, Brissett being a captain, do you think that puts any kind of, give Mayo any hesitance to bench him?
Probably. Because, like, he doesn't want...
I mean, Mac Jones a captain last year? He got benched, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, it's not that crazy of a concept for a captain to be benched.
Well, no, because... Well, I especially when the captain's just your quarterback and, like, he's just a veteran quarterback that nobody kind of expected him to start the whole year anyways.
Yeah.
Like, you drafted Drake May 3 overall. Everybody knows, even the players know, he is going to play at some point.
Yeah, right. Mac was a captain last year.
He was. Okay, so, yeah, so it's not that crazy of a concept that you bench a captain, but that might be a different attitude with a new head coach and a new system where Mayo, like, I can't do this. The guy, the players picked him to be their captain. They see him as a leader. I can't give up on him 3 weeks.
Especially the players coach that Mayo is, too. Right. Like, it's not like Bill where he's an authoritarian and kind of does whatever he wants. Yep. Mayo is really kind of going with the flow and the vibe of his team.
Right. Yeah, so he always, you know, I don't want to say it's a bad rep, but like the player's coach. And he's a player's coach in the sense that he was a player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not that he's like, oh, you guys are right, I'm wrong, I'll let you know what to do, and you guys will adjust to what you want to do. No, he's been there, he's done that. And we talked about it last week, how players react to it. How players feel with a guy like that as opposed to, like you said, like a crusty old Belichick type who just says, my way or the highway. And it might be that. Maybe he just kind of, you're a captain, your team sees you as a captain, I'm going to continue to give you the opportunity to play as a captain.
Yeah, and that very well may be likely. You need to do what's in the best interest of your football team. Mm. And just like, because everybody likes Jacoby Brissett, keeping him at quarterback is not the right move.
Right, especially for that position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you look at any other sport, and there's always, like, clubhouse guys. Hey, we keep this guy around because he keeps this place light, he keeps people happy, everything's moving in a positive direction with this guy. But not when it's the most important position in sports.
Yeah, it's one thing if, you know, your running back fumbles three times in 3 weeks, and he's lost a couple of them, and it's like, hey, we really love you. Like, it's okay, it's the yips, you're going to get through this. But when it's the quarterback and he is literally causing your offense to have one of the worst performances we've seen out of the Patriots in the modern era.
Yep. Something's got to be done.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to be done. And again, we've talked about it earlier. Give. It's any other team, your number three pick is there week one.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of a luxury, I would say, to have somebody like Brissett to take these bumps while May develops. But it's getting to the point now where, all right, we got to...
Oh, it also bugged the crap out of me, too, Van Pelt yesterday saying it'd be better, like, Drake May will learn more from watching.
No.
F off.
You can only learn so much watching. You can read all the books, you can watch all the video, but until you're in there getting real-time reps, you really aren't completely developed in that position.
The more this Van Pelt guy talks and does in games, the more he pisses me off.
Yeah.
I hate this. Dude, run a little motion. For the love of God, put a little motion, put a little spice and dice in your freaking offense. Vanilla bum.
Careful, I was right near the dump button.
Yeah, I was trying to choose my words carefully.
He was warming up to something.
It infuriates me. That's why I think Van Pelt deserves the most blame for that game. The offense is so basic. It's so vanilla. It's so easy to decipher. Like, I don't know.
Safe.
Jump out of the 1980s and into the 21st century, bro. Like, figure it out.
That's what's on the pie, the vanilla offense.
Yeah, exactly.
Good call, Joe.
Good job.
It's like, look at any of the Shanahan offenses. Look at Clint Kubiak in freaking New Orleans. This guy's like the second coming of Christ because he makes Derek Carr look like an MVP through 2 weeks, which is just insane. And, like, everybody who has even touched the Shanahan tree has been good play calling on offense. And yet Van Pelt is over here just twiddling his thumbs. Yeah, let's run. Run out of the I formation. Yeah, let's single back, stretch left.
Right.
Yeah, play action pass. No motion.
Hey, come on. He was option number 11. Give him some credit.
It feels like with all the stuff that the new coaching staff, some new players, new quarterbacks, and they're just trying too hard to be safe.
Oh, they are.
They're trying way too hard to stay, to just let's just get the basics down. Let's just, like you said, you want to see some motion. Let's see some flash. Let's just see some fun. You know what I mean? Instead, nope, we're getting in classic 80s football. We're going to set it up. We're going to just push the ball down your throat. No, there's no flash. There's no flair because they're too focused on, like, all right, we have too many new pieces that we have to keep it basic, plain, and safe.
Billy, that's the perfect word. Is the Patriots offense too safe? 617-779-7937. We'll be right back talking about exactly that question. Is this Patriots offense just too safe? Good. I love pie. God.
I'm just curious, in terms of developing Drake, what you feel is the better course of action at this stage, him learning by watching or by playing?
I still think it's by watching. I think there's a lot to be learned yet. And that's where I'll stand on that. I think Jacoby is our starter, like Coach said. And until that changes, I think we got to do everything we can to get the starter ready to win a game on Sunday.
Sorry, I'm dry heaving. This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Scheim and Lanny with you here. Final segment of the program. That was Alex Van Pelt following Thursday night's debacle loss to the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Says it's better for Drake May to watch. Gross. What are we doing?
Absolutely gross.
Billy, when was the last time you learned by watching someone do something?
I'm not going to say that I don't learn, but I don't learn until I can execute.
You're right.
I get to execute. It's the same thing. I said it to interns all these years in radio. It's like, look, you're going to get behind the board. You're going to mess something up.
Yep.
It's just knowing how, one, not to do it again, and two,
how to get out of it.
And that's the thing. It's like somebody can watch us do what we do all day long, write all the notes. They can, let's set up a camera. Take one of the cameras in those rooms and just, hey, watch how this guy produces a show. It's like, all right, but again, until you're in the fire, you really can't develop all the way.
It's like, and I mean, they do this in schools across the world. It's like, okay, I'm going to show you how to do it, and then I'm going to hand you a piece of paper and test you so that you know how to do it.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point. It's like, all right, come up to the whiteboard. Solve this equation. I just told you how to do it. Yep. Now do it. And so it's like, he has played football now for a large portion of his career. He was very successful at the collegiate level. He was highly touted, highly drafted. He has now sat on the bench for 3 weeks behind a guy who's not good. It's one thing if you're sitting behind an Aaron Rodgers or a Brett Favre or a Drew Bledsoe or an Alex Smith.
Mm.
That's fine. I get it. You're sitting him down on behind a guy who's a Pro Bowl quarterback who could take you to the playoffs. That is not the case here.
So he's 22 years old.
Yes, he is.
He's been playing football for more than half of his life, we'll say.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? Probably got
in a very competitive family who, by the way, like, his brother was a national champion baseball player at Florida. His other brother was a national champion basketball player at UNC. His other brother was on the UNC basketball team.
And
his mother was a collegiate soccer player. Like, dude. This whole family is super athletic, super competitive. This kid's going to be great.
Right.
Just put him on the field.
He's been hit by something.
He's been hit by his brothers 100 times.
I can only imagine how much drywall. I always thought that about the Gronkowskis. Like, how much drywall that family had to invest in because you have three or four sons who are just athletes.
Yeah.
They get into it. You mess around this horseplay, things get broken.
Yeah, how many times has he, like, broken his elbow because they say they tackled him on the driveway?
Right.
Like, or like playing on like one-on-one basketball, how many black eyes did he get from elbows that got thrown? Like,
what do you expect? Like, do you really think you have to wait till your offensive line is just picture perfect before you give this guy a shot?
Well, and like, why? No other rookie quarterback has ever gone into a perfect situation by the offensive line.
Never.
Like, what are we doing?
I understand. Hey, keeping people safe—that's the name of the game now. It's you don't want people getting hurt. You don't want to ruin people's career. But and you have to get in there. You have to see. And again, it's like, oh, he's getting 30% of the reps at practice. It's like, that's practice.
And the one argument,
Keon White isn't closing in on Drake May and leveling him.
No.
The only argument for sitting him is looking at the quarterbacks now, like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix. They're all struggling, and they were given the keys essentially right away.
Yeah, but so
but
to be fair,
that's not a crazy.
I don't
percentage.
Agree with it.
Not everybody's Peyton Manning. You know what I mean?
Well,
not
and like Peyton Manning was awful in his rookie year. He threw like 26 interceptions.
But they put him right in there.
Exactly. And so, but, and also, Joe, to that point, right? Like, you look at those three guys, and really the only two that are in, two of them are in terrible situations, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix. And if, fun fact, if you actually look at the underlying numbers, like, if you join the nerds for a second, the Jaden Daniels led offense is actually really good. Mm. They're very efficient. It's just the Washington defense is so putrid that they can't do anything. And then you look at Bo Nix, that's a horrible situation. Bo Nix is struggling. I don't think Bo Nix was good anyways. He shouldn't have gone 12 overall. That was dumb. And then Caleb Williams, yeah. Caleb Williams is a good example. He is struggling, unfortunately, on a relatively talented Chicago team. The offensive line hasn't been great for him, so that hasn't helped. A guy's been sacked a million times. But, like, I think he's getting better. Like, you saw progression from week one to week two, so I would just assume into week three he's going to see more progression, especially when he's going against a 31st in the league ranked Indianapolis Colts defense. So if Caleb Williams comes out this week and throws 250 yards, is everybody and three touchdowns, everybody going to go, oh, maybe we should start Drake May.
Right.
Oh, maybe he might be okay. Oh, I think, okay. Rookie quarterbacks can do it. CJ Stroud did it last year. He can do it. Just because Bryce Young is awful doesn't mean like every first round quarterback is going to be awful.
Not everybody's Ryan Leaf.
Right. And it's just like, you also have to take into account Bryce Young was a historical outlier in the fact that he was short and slight, and he has to throw passes from his tiptoes. Yeah, Drake May does not do that.
You can't see progression unless you get out there.
I agree.
He's not going to come out. As soon as he gets a start, he's not going to be this polished diamond that everything goes well. You're going to get bumps. You're going to get bruises. We're going to watch him get hit and just go, you know what I mean?
Like in Thursday's game.
Right. There's going to be plenty of that. And that's just part of it. It's like you can't protect this guy so much that you think that once he's out there, everything's going to be 100% and everything's going to fall into place perfectly.
I couldn't agree more. That has been the WEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original. But keep it locked. Ken and Curtis got you coming up next. We'll see you next Saturday.
Later.